So this is fun. This is a chance for the Woody and Wilcox show to go back and maybe, I don't know if right or wrong is the right way to put it, but something happened on Friday that happens
maybe twice a year. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe twice a year. And I'll explain it this way. So we probably have, I don't know, let's say 40 stand-up comics come through the studio every year. How many weeks in a year?
52.
Let's say 40. So, and very rarely will something happen like what happened on Friday happen. We had Chris Redd, who's on Saturday Night Live, come in. And we, you know, we had set that up a couple of weeks in advance. And so we were, you know, I love SNL. We were all prepped for Chris Redd. And so when Chris Redd shows up, there's another guy with him.
Some guy.
Right. So, now, I'm going to say right now, before we bring him in, so let me finish this. That guy is sitting next to us right now. But before I reveal it, and we'll give you proper credit in a second, maybe my own fault, I didn't know who he was. And so this happens occasionally. It happens occasionally. And it's not that person's fault. It's just that we were never told somebody else was coming. And so I love to be prepared when I know somebody's going to be on my show. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. I don't know who this guy is that shows up with Chris Redd. He introduces himself. Nice guy. And I didn't even know what his last name was. I had to ask him twice, and he was nice enough to sound it out for me. Not like it's complicated. So it was one of these rare situations. And then we find out he's the feature for Chris. He's the opening act for Chris. And that sort of deal. Cause initially we go, is this a buddy? Is it like his your friend? Is it a PR guy? Like, we don't know that. Happened a couple of times. Like, Chris Hammond from SNL, actually, he came in and he brought his feature with him too. And it was a woman.
Yep.
Who was great and very funny, but we didn't know who she was.
We've had comics come in and they've had like their security guard and he sits in the corner.
That happens too sometimes. Yeah. Right. So you just never know. And you can't, like, when that person comes in, you can't like start Googling him on the side. Cause in our studio, he's sitting literally right next to me. Like, he would see me Googling him, right? So what rarely happens though is what happened after the show was after they left, we did Google and then we go, oh man, this guy, Matt Rife, has done a lot of different things. We probably should have known A, who he was, but B, he has a lot more credits to his name than sometimes maybe a feature act would have when they come in for somebody performing a stand-up, you know, for a weekend. And so I was like, shoot, that's, you know, there would have been a lot to talk to him about, but we spent all of our time with Chris because he was the one that we knew. And then I always feel like a jerk because there's another guy sitting here and I'm like, I should ask you something, but I don't know what to ask you because I don't know what your response is going to be. And it may take forever. And we got a limited amount of time and I got SNL guy here. So you're like, in your head, you're like, God, And so we think, well, next time they come through town, you know, we'll see if we can get him in. So long story even longer, Chelsea and Frank go to the show on Sunday night and they go backstage, I guess, and hang. And so Chelsea tweets us or texts us at like 9:30 last night. Hey, Matt Rife wants to come on the show tomorrow after I told him the whole scenario. And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I forgot you even doing a Sunday night show. And she's like, yeah, I told him, you know, and I told him we wish we could have talked to him more. And he was like, okay. Now, first of all, for anybody who doesn't know, usually when a comedian comes through town, you know, as soon as that show's done, whenever the last, they're out, you know, they're gone. They got other places to be. I'm like, what? Matt's not leaving after the show? No, he's going to be around. He's like, I'd love to come in. And one other thing, normally, like, the club drives the comics around. I'm like, well, they're probably not going to drive him around. He's already done his shows. She's like, no, he's going to take an Uber over. Which in some places maybe is not that big of a deal. Around here, like, no, I'm like, not, that's not happening. I'm like, look, I appreciate that Matt told you that, but my guess is he's just being nice and he's not going to end up showing up. So this morning we mentioned this on the air and I was like, he's not showing. And Woody and Chelsea were like, no, he's going to show. And like, so now Matt Rife is here sitting next to me. Yeah. That was the hell of an intro, right?
It was.
And the man is like, he hosted TRL. He's been on Wild and Out. He's a stand-up comic. And even though you're young, how old are you?
22.
But you've been doing it for like too long.
7 years.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who starts doing stand-up comedy at 15? How's that possible?
children with no career site in mind.
That can't be no, right. Look at you.
They become morning DJs.
Oh,
that's what happens.
How does that happen, though? Because you are from, like, middle of nowhere, small town Ohio, and this. Like, how does that happen?
I mean, there was really nothing else to do. And I guess in school, I was kind of like class clown. Like, I was always making my friends laugh, getting in detention a lot.
Right.
And nobody in my hometown really goes on to do much. Like, the order of things in my hometown is, like, you go to high school, you get pregnant, you hopefully graduate, and then maybe you get married, and then you work at, like, a Honda plant. And that's pretty much it. And I was like, I don't feel like having any kids. So let me just quit this and go to L.A. and pursue what I'm, I guess, okay at.
Yeah, you're more than okay. You're pretty successful.
It's working out pretty well for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm impatient, like any entertainer, if like needs to be a little bit. But I'm extremely like thankful, and it's like cool to see how things have turned out, and hopefully how they will continue to turn out.
How did the weekend go doing shows, and how, you know, you and Chris were hanging together, I guess?
Yeah. The shows were amazing. I love Charlotte. I've been here like 4 or 5 times before, and I love the city. The shows are always awesome. It's always fun crowds. I got to explore the city a little bit deeper than I would have liked to.
I want to bring up something, and I'm just going to, well, it was something that you tweeted out.
Okay.
And it references Roger from American Dad. Now, if you're not a fan of that particular show by Seth MacFarlane, that's the alien on American Dad. You tweeted out, Chris Red drugged me to this club, and the hottest girl in here is exactly like Roger from American Dad.
It's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good night.
I mean, I love the show, but like, that's not who I want to lap dance from at all.
Some people might.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into. We came to Charlotte, and Chris and I immediately wanted to be like, well, what's the stuff to do after the shows? Because we end our shows usually around 11 o'clock, and we're nightlife people. Like, we don't want to go out and do stuff after the shows. We're comics. We don't wake up till noon anyways. Like,
right.
This is the earliest I'm going to be up for a while.
Right.
So a lot of people were saying, like, oh, it's a good club life here. There's a lot of good restaurants. And somebody was like, you need to go to Onyx. And we were like, ooh, what is that? And if you've never been to Onyx, good. Stay going to heaven. stay in church. Because I have not taken enough baths since I've been there.
How
it
dare
was an
you?
Experience.
Let me just apologize for the fine people at Onyx.
I mean, I've never
Name
been.
Them. So. Name the fine people at Onyx. I'll wait.
I promise you Woody's never been either.
I'm just going to heaven.
We know nothing.
they check your trunks when you're pulling in. Mm-hmm. Like they're cautious that I'm going to be smuggling hot girls into the club. Like,
is that a euphemism for something, or you mean they're actually checking the trunk of your car?
No, they actually make you pop your trunk. Every person in the car has to show their ID. Like, it's like the border.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, wait, Trump should be far more concerned about this, I promise.
Like, when you pull into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's like a line of cars waiting to get in. It's two dudes like shining flashlights in your windows, make you pop your trunk. If you have stuff in your trunk, they'll like go through it. Like it was way more intense than I thought it needed to be, but I was wrong. It was absolutely needed. Every person's trunk needs to be searched immediately. I've never seen a club like this. If you don't know, it's a strip club, and it's like the Narnia of strip clubs. Like, you're going to see things you didn't think you were ever going to see. Like, I walk in, and not only is it not the most beautiful women I've ever seen, but, like, I'm the opening act. I don't have Chris Red money. I'm not on SNL. I did take an Uber here. There was no driver.
Right.
And I get in there, and I'm already like, okay, there's no way I'm spending more than, like, $30. And then I'm walking around. I'm like, okay, someone needs to pay me $30 to be here. Because like, they're playing, there's TV screens on the walls.
Okay.
If you like watch stuff or something, usually it's like music videos in a strip club is what they'll play over whatever song is playing on the system.
So you've heard. You mean?
Yes. Yeah. So I've heard. This club, they're playing Saw. Like, the horror film Saw, where they dismantle and torture human beings. Like, who is getting turned on by this? Like, who's getting a dance? Like, you know what I need right now? A little bit of salt. Like, let's heat things up a little bit. Like, it got so bad that I was actually more into Saul than the women that were around me. I was like, can you get off of me? This is my favorite part. It was intense.
That's weird.
That's fantastic is what it is.
That's one word to describe it.
Yeah. Right. If you have suggestions for where Matt should go...
keep them to yourself. I do not trust people in Charlotte anymore.
It's Matt Rife on Twitter is how you can get to him that way. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. Matt Rife is with us, and we'll chat some more. Maybe less about strip club critiques, and there's some other stuff we need to get to, so we'll do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We're hanging out with comedian Matt Rife, who's in the studio with us, who was actually in the studio with us on Friday about this time, but we didn't talk to him.
Actually, no, take that back. We did talk to him. We just gave him the worst mic that we had.
Right. That's right.
So we couldn't hear when he responded.
I was like Chris's hype man. Like, you just heard me like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was embarrassing.
No, it is, and so. It's happened. You know, we've had this before, where a comedian like Chris Redd, who was in from SNL, brings along his opening act, who was Matt, and we didn't know Matt though at the time, and so, you know, later on we were like, man, I wish we'd have had a chance to talk to Matt a little bit more. So Matt was like, I'll come back in. And we're like, cool. So yeah. Here he is.
Well, actually, two of us said cool. One of us said, he's not coming.
Right. Well, that's true. If I was going to bet.
Which one was the cynical old man?
Right. Yeah, I didn't think Matt would show, but here he is.
So. No, dude, I'm so happy you guys invited me back here. Like, just so you guys know, no part of me Friday was like, they didn't talk to me. Like, I wasn't upset about it, like, whatsoever. Like, it was Chris's show. I'm the opening act. Like, I'm very aware of my place.
And I appreciate that. And obviously, you've been in the business long enough to understand how it works. So, I mean, I figured you didn't go home and cry or something.
But no,
but it still feels like, for us, you feel like, it's like you have somebody over to your house and then you don't really know them. And yeah. You spend all your time talking to the other person. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I just feel like a jerk, whether you did or not. You know what I mean? It just feels like you just feel like an idiot.
No, I get
it. And plus, I'm like, oh, and then I looked you up and I'm like, oh, he's done a lot of stuff. I should have known who he is. And I didn't know, you know, it's that sort of thing. So that's what we were dealing with.
I blame Mike. Mike from the comments.
Very, very easy target, and Mike. I agree with you. Yes. Did you get to hang out much with Mike from the Comedy Zone?
We were supposed to go to a baseball game yesterday, the Knights.
Triple A team.
Yeah, we had like dugout seats for a 2 p.m. game, but Chris wanted to hang out at Onyx till 7 a.m., so none of us went.
Oh, you were there, you were out till 7 a.m.?
Yeah, man. It was a long
night. So you're traveling around doing comedy a lot. How often is that the case? How often are you awake when the sun comes up?
More than I'd like to be. I mean, I'm a pretty introverted guy. Like, I much prefer to just like go see a movie or something like that. I'm not a big like party animal. Let's go out and rage the city. Like, I'm not a big drinker, even though I'm like just now able to do it.
I know. Matt, by the way, is 22. Just FYI.
Yeah.
The ladies seem to like you too. I'm just going to throw that out there. And I'm not, it's not me talking, but
it's just you talking.
So you're saying you don't like Matt?
Well, I mean, just
wow, what a jerk.
Ladies, wow. you can Google the man.
He's, I was going to send nudes too.
That's what I love about Matt too. Like, he's got the Hollywood face. And I mean, you know,
I feel like that's an insult to Hollywood.
You started like you were going to add to it. And then you were like, that's what I like about Matt. He has the Hollywood face, but that's pretty much it.
It's like the Jimmy Carr line about Jewel.
Yeah.
She's got a great body. And she sings great. And she has a face.
And he's a nice guy.
Like this. Yeah, but going through life like that, people are going to expect you to be a certain way. Like,
well, this
they're
is
gonna
new
pre-
to me as well.
They're gonna. Your face is new to you?
Very, yes. Puberty has been cool over the past year. Like, I was not like an attractive kid whatsoever.
I find that hard to believe, but okay.
Oh, I promise.
But you know, I try not to prejudge people, but people, the world, they're gonna judge you. Like, you look a certain way, and they're like, that guy's a, you know, D-bag. Totally not. So nice, so genuine.
So what you're saying is, when you first met Matt, you're like, D-bag. And then you got to know him.
I think she did say that.
Yeah, and I did. I'm just saying, like, he probably, like, do you feel like, you mean, the world, they look at you and they expect you to be a certain way.
Yeah.
But he's like a real, like, that's why he's here, you know?
See, Matt, guys like you and I, hot guys, we have to stick together. Chelsea thinks that we're all D-bags. She's always judging books by the cover.
No, I know you, Wilcox, and you are a D-bag.
It's a tough life that I live, and now you know.
Well, see, Wilcox is the opposite. He's ugly and a D-bag.
Shots fired.
I'm just fat and lovable.
That's not true.
Like in the South, where everyone's very hospitable and nice, and not usually so quick to judge, it's not as difficult as living in L.A. Because in L.A., where I live now, it's not that you're a D-bag as the first assumption. It's, oh, this guy does gay porn. Got it. So that's the initial first impression.
Do you live in the Valley? Is that why?
I do. I live two blocks from the Vivid Entertainment building, and I'm just like waiting for Lisa Ann to walk by.
Yes.
Name dropping.
Yeah.
Hello, Canoga Park. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, I look like America's next top twink. Like, it's fine. I just didn't pick a great place to live.
I wish I didn't know what twink meant.
Sadly. Well, but I mean, so I guess there, I mean, we have a lot of comedians in the studio, mm-hmm. and most of them are not what you would think of as fit. Right? So immediately you stand out.
Yeah, they're like, they're A shape, but not in shape.
That's right.
Like Woody.
It's a little unusual.
I am a dad bod. Okay? That's what this is.
No, I used to tour with Ralphie May, and we used to wake up every morning. He used to look at me and be like, I hate you so much.
We miss him.
Ralphie is one of the best people.
He was like the first person I ever met in comedy, actually.
Okay.
Via Twitter, actually. Before Twitter was like a big thing. Like, this was back when like Ashton Kutcher had the most followers. Like, you could like actually talk to people because not everybody was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he let me open for him when I was 16 at a theater in Youngstown, Ohio. And like, my mom drove me up there. It was like an 800 seat theater. I've been doing comedy like 7 to 8 months tops. And he let me like do an opening guest spot for him in this theater.
That's the nicest guy.
We became like best friends. He was awesome. He paid me $100, and I was like, dude, you don't have to do that. Like, I just wanted to come and meet you, really.
Right.
And he told me, he was like, no, I was told to pay this forward, because when he was 15, he did a spot for Sam Kinison, and Sam Kinison paid him $100 for his first paid set ever. He's like, now make sure you do this. And like, I'm not gonna do that, but you know, it was nice. I don't make that much money. Like ten, I'll give you gas money. Like, that'll be fine. But he was such a sweetheart and was like the best guy.
Yeah, he was. We had him on a bunch, and he was so nice. Like, I remember one time, for whatever reason, he came by later. We were recording. It wasn't during the show, and like my wife was here, and like we just happened to be coming through the parking lot, and he must have stopped for a half hour.
Yeah,
to have a discussion with Denise about just BS. It was like, no. He just likes to talk to people. He's just a good guy.
Absolutely.
Miss that guy, because he was just nice and hilarious.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure he was nice to young comics too, obviously.
Sweetest, man. I've never met a comic who gave so much when they absolutely didn't have to. Like my family growing up didn't have a lot of money for Christmas a lot of the time. So I would drive down from Columbus to Nashville, where he had a place to live as well. And he usually spent the holidays in Nashville. So he used to be like, you know, come open for me in Nashville around Christmas time. That way I can like, you're kind of earning your money. And he was always giving me like a little bit of extra cash, like to give my family a good Christmas and stuff. He was just like the best person ever.
An amazing talent too. If you ever had a chance to see him, I mean, his set sometimes were couple of hours.
Yeah, he told me the reason he would do a 2-hour show is because a lot of his fans were middle class working Americans who would usually have to work a 2-hour minimum job wage just to afford one of his tickets. So he was like, he felt the right to at least pay you back your 2 hours you worked.
And it was great because it would be hysterical, and then he would go off and you'd be like, wow, I'm at a Ralphie May show, and I'm like thinking about these deep thoughts, and then he'd just come in with an out-of-the-blue left hook and this joke, and it would just slay you, and you're like, oh my God, the tension in the room would break. Just a total professional. Loved watching Ralphie May working.
He would just drop like life gems on you. And then ones you would question. Like, I remember being 16, and he was like, yeah, Maddie, you gotta... when you're hooking up with these girls, like assuming that I was just doing that at 16, and it was like you have to I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, half D these women, half D them. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, don't give your full potential, because then they'll fall in love with you. I was like, what do you think I'm working with? That like they're just gonna drop their lives to be with me if I give them the whole thing. Like, I'm flattered, but I'm also still a virgin. So.
Wow.
Wow. So how does somebody like follow where you're going to be? Is there a website or are they just following you on Twitter or Instagram or whatever?
Social media is usually the go-to. Like Twitter is It's Matt Rife, ITSMATTRIFE. And then Instagram is just Matt Rife.
What else is going on? I mean, I know obviously you're paying the bills doing stand-up and that's your first love. But I mean, you've been doing a lot. And, you know, again, I'm going to bring this up again. But when you Google Matt, you find everything from comedy to modeling pictures. Have you done? Did you do modeling, or is that just like a jokey thing out there?
It's something that I kind of just do. Oh my god!
What is Woody brought up on the computer?
Woody is like looking at naked pictures of Matt.
It's softcore porn.
We're back to the twink thing.
So turgid over here.
My Vivid Entertainment headshot.
But that was a thing. Like, did you make some money doing some?
It's honestly just a thing I'll do on the side to make some extra cash. Right. Like, it being in LA, everyone's very vain and shallow, so everyone was constantly like, if you have decent cheekbones, someone's like, you should model. And like, I just don't see myself as that whatsoever. But somebody will be like, you know, here's $1,000 to come shoot for the day. I'm like, I can use some extra cash. But like, I can't take it serious by any means. Like, if I post a shallow-looking photo, like, my caption has to be something unrelated.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if somebody would pay me to do it, hell yeah, I would do the same thing.
I'm not one of those Instagram D-bags who, like, this is me without a shirt off, and, like, life is what you make of it. Chase your dreams. Like, kill yourself. Like, I hate those dudes so much.
Well, so you were hosting TRL, which was, but not a thing anymore then.
No, I hosted it. We brought it back last October. They called me 2 days before I had to be in New York, by the way, to offer me the job.
That's always the way it goes.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, can you give me like a week to think about it? Like, no, we need you here Monday, and it's Saturday. I was like, okay. Let me call everybody I know and get their opinions. I ended up doing it for about 4 months, yeah, through January. And I just, the show wasn't what it used to be whatsoever. There was no music videos. There was no big guests coming on the show. It was very, like, social media influencer-based, like those dudes who post the douchey.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't my scene whatsoever. They weren't giving me the freedom to do the kind of comedy I wanted to do. I didn't want to be Carson Daly.
Right.
And it was taking me away from the things I wanted to do. And I had to call it quits. And since then, I think the show got rid of its other two co-hosts. And now, like, Sway in the Morning hosts it. Which, I mean, I love Sway. Like, all good to him. But it's like, I don't think that entire network knows what they're doing with that show.
Yeah. Well, it was music television. And when you don't play music, it's sort of.
Yeah, now it's just like the challenge in dating shows every single time.
Right.
Which, yeah. You know, that's somebody's favorite program.
That's
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, sadly, I think a lot of people.
Isn't that nuts? Like, there's a lot of weird things. Like, we were talking off air. Like, people want to watch everything on YouTube now. Like, people are watching people play video games.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even playing them.
Believe me, my kids are doing that.
That's
watching people play games. I don't even get it. Like, if you play the game and you're a pro or something and you want to get a couple of tips, I can see watching somebody who's really good at something and being like, oh, I got to do that. I got to do that. But this is just like for entertainment. You're just watching somebody else
play.
That's
so dumb. That's like watching the NFL or Major League Baseball, right? Watching other people play a game.
I mean, guess it's kind of like watching porn, though. Like, you're watching someone do something you're not doing.
And it's very good at it.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. But it's not.
It's like a turn.
And is capable.
They get the same views, though.
And
it's millions of views.
Well, and the people who do that stuff can come. They actually travel around like comics now, too. Mm-hmm. And they'll go to venues and sell them out without any marketing. That's all social. I mean, that's a thing, no doubt. It's a moneymaker.
Yeah, but the audience members are usually like 13 to 17 years old for these things. Like, you're selling out to kids, which, don't get me wrong, I've done the same on Instagram. Like, you find your fan base, shallow or not. And like, that's the best, that's the only good thing about having such a young social media based fan base, is like, they are so diehard.
Right.
Like, they're the best promoters you could ask for. Like, if I post anything, they're like, share 100,000 times. Like, I don't have to do any of the work.
Right.
I just have to post that picture you brought up.
Yeah.
With what, like, I'll be in Charlotte, and, you know, hopefully at least some people.
Well, he's got 197,000 followers, and we're right behind you on that, coming up on 5,000.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, post some shirtless stuff, man.
Woody, if you start working out more, Woody, crying out loud.
I got more
muscle. Well, you
than
over
that.
There claiming you got the same face. Like, you do something.
Who said face?
Oh, no.
I definitely spilled my coffee.
You're welcome. That was I thought that was a vomit. Sorry. All right. Well, we got to wrap this thing up. Matt's got to go work out. So
I hate that you guys told you that in confidence.
He is Matt Rife, and he's funny, and you should see him wherever you can. Follow him on Twitter. It's Matt Rife, and I think it's just Matt Rife on Instagram. I'm sure you'll find him. Just Google him, and you'll see the shirtless picture. It'll be easy to follow along. You know how the internet works.
Also starring in this season of America's Next Top Twink.
Yes, you guys.
What else? Is there anything besides the stand-up that's coming up that we that you've, are you like doing any movie stuff or TV stuff?
Yeah, I just finished filming this horror film that I know we're submitting to a bunch of festivals and stuff this fall. But at the very least, I know they already have it going to be on Amazon this by the end of this year.
Okay,
it's called Bloody Bobby. Don't judge the corny title. It's a horror film. It's very cliche, like high schoolers on Halloween raise a demon and we have to like kill it or whatever before it kills us.
And eventually, maybe it'll be on at a strip club.
Yeah, oh, I can only pray the Bloody Bobby is on while Big Ragu is grinding on somebody.
Great. That's a great Big Ragu reference. Yeah, it's good stuff. Check out Matt Rife when you get a chance. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate
it, man.
Thank you, man.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.